This is Perspectives with Barry Shanebaum. Recorded in the heart of downtown Toronto, we explore different viewpoints on life through interviews.
This is Perspectives with Barry Shanebaum, now a podcast produced in downtown Toronto. One of the mandates of my show is Parkinson's issues. And every second show or so will be on issues to do with Parkinson's. Today, I'm pleased to have Gord Myers and Hugh Johnson with us in studio. Welcome, gentlemen. Let's start with you, Gord. What's your connection with Parkinson's Canada and with Parkinson's?
I was diagnosed in 2010. Probably symptoms started a few years before that. But just to cut to the chase, I started up with Parkinson's Canada.
Did you call them up, or they sent you an email?
Yeah, I wanted to go someplace to learn something. I felt like I was alone. Over time, I became a member of and a facilitator for a support group. Went to see a presentation at Toronto Toronto Western, excuse me, and I found out about this patient advisory board.
Tell us about that. How many patients are in it? How many staff? How many doctors?
It's mostly patients. There are some patient partners, like care partners. And it's a movement disorder, so it's mostly Parkinson's, but it's other things like dystonia. And
how often do they get together?
The board meets every couple of months, and there's committees. I'm the present chair of the board, and Hugh is the founding chair before me. So I found out about the board indirectly through Parkinson's Canada, and then learned more as I met Hugh. And
let's talk to Hugh for a bit. So Hugh Johnson. You are the founding chair of tell us who or what you are.
Yes. sorry. My background in Parkinson's started before I was diagnosed. I guess I got my diagnosis about 8 years ago at about age 55.
How did you know you potentially had Parkinson's?
Well, I was shaking, and I had a neurology appointment. And the doctor was a very old doctor.
You can mention that if you wish.
Yeah, and he told me I had Parkinson's, and then he said, I'm retiring in a week.
He's retiring?
Yeah.
Oh, darn.
So you're on your own.
I was going to say that.
So,
jeez.
That kind of stuff. Anyway, so eventually I met a bunch of advocates.
How did you meet them?
Well, here's the funny thing. You send them an email, and they answer back. So the first one was Sarah Agari out of Sweden, who is a fairly prominent patient advocate and also got her PhD in Parkinson's and an engineer. And one was Ben Stecker, who is currently the patient advisory board chair at Rune Labs out of San Francisco doing wearables for
Parkinson's. How did you know to contact them in the first place around the world?
Well, I was looking at their material that they put out into the world, their podcasts, their videos on YouTube, their comments on the Parkinson's Research Interest Group. And when I reached out, I just got to meet them. And eventually, I ended up at a conference in Toronto where many of the leading Parkinson's doctors in the world were attending. And they were debating whether Parkinson's is caused by alpha-synuclein protein being aggregated or whether it's caused by something else. And at that session, I got to meet a whole bunch of people. And eventually, this led to being involved in the patient advisory board at Toronto Western Hospital.
How did the two of you meet in the first place? Are you cousins, 42nd generation? You said that somewhere. But
what does it go back to? What year was it?
Oh, my goodness. Your Myers came to during the Revolutionary War. And my Myers came from Yorkshire around, not long after. And so same spelling.
On track. I like a little bit of humor.
We could go on.
Gord, please, you want to say something?
I forget what it was. I went off on the Myers tangent.
Okay. This is Perspectives with Barry Shanebaum. I got to find my mind where I am right now. Okay, so what year were you meeting all these people?
probably about 2018, 2019. Pardon?
Just a handful of years ago.
Yeah, not that long ago. And it led to meeting some of the doctors at the Toronto Western. Dr. Fasano, who's in charge of advanced therapies and deep brain stimulation and, okay. and things like that. And I was actually diagnosed by Tony Lang, who's the head of the clinic. Tony is one of the top three Parkinson's doctors in the world, and he leads that group.
For what accomplishments or what knowledge?
For the most cited Parkinson's doctor.
That's wonderful, wonderful. In the world. I invited him on the show, maybe at some point he would say yes. Now, deep brain stimulation, that sounds to me like manipulation. It's a jolly hole in the head. I'm no medical person, but isn't that meant to sound more palatable? I'd be scared to have someone drill a hole in my head, knowing I could lose speech or something.
They're awfully good at it.
Sorry?
They're awfully good at it now.
Yeah. They're so good at it. Toronto is actually one of the leading centers for it.
Wow.
In the world.
Who does the surgery?
The surgeons are people like Dr. Andres Lozano, Sunil Kalia, and
okay.
They also do other brain surgeries. They don't just sure. focus on movement mm-hmm. disorders. And deep brain stimulation is a therapy that's targeted at calming the very busy brain that's overloaded. And what they do, listen to Anders Lozano talk about it, is they go in through the hole they mm-hmm. drill into your brain, and they know they're at the right target when the electrical signal coming from your brain goes off the charts.
Do you know an inch, half inch, 2 inches?
So it goes quite deep into your brain. It starts up at the top near your forehead and goes down into the middle of your brain.
Basal ganglia? Basal ganglia.
Ganglia.
What is the basal ganglia?
Yeah.
Gord.
What is it?
Hugen.
Jacob. It's where for Parkinson's patients, all they need to know is...
Starts to die or something, right? Something starts to die in the basal ganglia?
Yeah, and dopamine-producing cells die in substantia nigra. Yeah, right.
They believe, yes.
When a person becomes aware they may have Parkinson's, how much has already died of the dopamine in their brain? I read, what number have you heard?
I remember hearing you're down to 20%.
That's what I heard. Same book.
But we don't really know that.
Yeah.
A, we don't know that. B, they believe that the neurons are dying because the melanin, the stuff that gives you a tan in your skin that's in those cells.
Melanin or melatonin?
Melatonin. And there are very many different kinds of Parkinson's.
Tell us about them.
Well, there are types that are slow progressing. There are types that are very fast and aggressive. There are types that are more tremor-related, called tremor dominant. There's types that are more postural instability and gait. Some people get a form of Parkinson's that's more aggressive, which really involves a lot of instability and something called orthostatic hypotension, where you stand up and you're all wobbly and you feel like falling down.
And then there's me.
And so
my right foot freezes.
Those people usually get cramps and...
Yeah, some Parkinson's comes with dystonia, some doesn't. Yeah. Some patients end up with on-off. Gord, can you describe on-off?
Yeah, mostly because I've heard so many times from people, but basically when they're off, it means the effect of the drugs is wearing off. They're frozen to the chair, they can't get up.
Do you experience on and off, Gord?
I'm starting to now. Quite honestly, I've been at this for, 15 years almost, and it's really just been the last year that I really notice in the last half hour before I'm going to take my levodopa.
A few years ago, I had Parkinson's for 9 years and 8 months. And it used to be I had a 2-minute warning. Yeah. Now I have 20 seconds. So in 20 seconds, and I go, oh, now what? How do I walk? Well, I've learned how to walk when I can't walk, but that's all strategy and technique, and it's not easy. Oof, you know.
And so there's something to talk about in that learning to walk when you can't walk. Maybe we want to come back to, but on-off mm-hmm. also includes symptoms which are called motor complications. So you have the rigidity in the offside where you can't move, but you also, on the upside, your brain isn't able to deal with the medication as well anymore. And you get something called dyskinesia.
Dyskinesia.
How do you define dyskinesia, Gordon?
It's excessive arrhythmic movement. So
I call it the wiggles.
And it can be small, start small, but it can be quite dramatic and really difficult to socially.
Yeah.
How do you handle it, Gord, when you have that dyskinesia and you're in public or whatever? How do you handle it, or do you not handle it?
I'm learning how to handle it, but yeah, it's taken a while.
What have you learned? What do you do?
Focus on breathing.
Deep breathing.
We'll go into that another time. But yeah, focus on breathing and remind myself that the drug wearing off, it's not a permanent state.
This too shall pass.
It shall pass, yes.
It's interesting because you and I have both been to the Integrated Movement Disorders Program at Toronto Western.
Yes.
And they believe that many symptoms in Parkinson's disease are actually rehabbable.
Re-what?
Rehabable.
What does that mean, rehabable?
You can go to the rehab.
Oh, rehabable, right.
Rehabilitation. To the point where they work out of Toronto Rehab Hospital, not the Toronto Western.
Right.
And the symptoms that they find they have the best success with are dyskinesia, tremor, fear of falling, and freezing of gait. And those four symptoms are highly associated with your brain being too active, and if you can calm that brain, you can really reduce the impact of the symptoms in your daily life.
Please give us a brief lesson. How do we calm our brain?
Gord, you're probably better at it than I am.
Yeah, like I said, breathing is one of them. I actually studied for my own use, but also to teach breathing, something called the Buteyko breathing method. A Russian doctor goes back to about 100 years ago, but his thing was breathing less. People who have breathing issues, whether it's breathing issues can be asthma or can be cardiovascular or can be panic attacks, or all those things are symptoms of chronic hyperventilation. So his whole thing, and most of the breathing people you talk to now, and all the disciplines, it's about breathing controlled, but breathing less. So the exercises are breathing in. I always breathe in and out through my nose when I'm conscious. When I'm in a panic attack, who knows how I'm breathing. But I can usually correct it by breathing correctly.
You're listening to Gord Myers on my right and Hugh Johnson on my left. On sound, we have Jacob Frummer, sound band, and I'm Barry Shadebaum. I've lived with Parkinson's now for way too long, 9 years and 8 months. And who's counting? I'm counting. Question for Hugh. How did you feel the first time you were told by a professional that you had Parkinson's?
Pissed off.
At who? At what?
At the doctor.
At the doctor. The doctor didn't give you Parkinson's.
No, but I just was angry.
At the doctor?
Yeah.
Not at God, not at your parents, or
no.
Who, your job? Or
no, just really angry and upset.
Gord, same question.
How did I feel?
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I was pissed off at the doctor. I don't know if I was even pissed off. I was momentarily relieved in a way, because I'd been.
Why? Why were you relieved?
I'd been spiraling in the previous 2 years.
Yeah.
And having lots of anxiety issues and just general poor health. And
did that contribute at all to Parkinson's, stress, or?
I know so many people who the very first symptoms they had were depression and anxiety.
Yeah.
And these are people who had never had anything, even a hint of it before in their life. And so I think that's Parkinson's at work somehow.
So Parkinson's isn't just a movement disorder.
No.
It's a whole brain disorder.
Okay.
And it affects your movement.
Mood and movement.
Mood, your ability to enjoy things. Some types of Parkinson's come with apathy. You lose interest in things that you used to like to do.
We have dementia to look forward to down the road.
Well, it's interesting. There's a paper that just came out on that.
Yeah.
And the risk is, it seems to be about twice the normal population, less than you would think it would be, given all the hype. And so what happens is Parkinson's is also a disease of aging.
Mm.
And it comes with all sorts of all sorts of things come with the package. Some people have motility problems with their bowels. Some people have incontinence problems. Some people have breathing problems, choking problems. All sorts of things are affected by these systems in your brain. And so anxiety tends to be one of the types of symptoms that can happen to people.
From the beginning or as it progresses?
In my case, it showed up a good 20 years ago as a medicatable problem, but probably was there always at some point.
I was told at a surgeon at St. Mike's Hospital years ago that the structure of Parkinson's was in my brain 10 years before it started to show. I'm here and mess up my life. 10 years, and you can't find it on a scope or a scan or x-ray. It's just so quietly. What did you destroy your life, which it did to me?
Many Parkinson's patients end up in all sorts of tests in the 2 to 3 years before their diagnosis, trying to figure out why are they so fatigued? Why are they sore? Why do they have pain in various parts of their body that feels like arthritis, but it's not? It could be dystonia. There's all sorts of things. Gord, did you go through that yourself?
Yeah, it just made me think of the breathing stuff I did. We called that fat folder syndrome. Like you have my file was fat with so many different types of, you know, all the various specialists you've gone to see. And
trying to figure out what's wrong with you. Why is your shoulders frozen, messed up? Why is, you know, on and on.
You use a bit of humor to help yourself. Am I right or am I wrong? However you come to humor.
Gord, how are you with humor?
You're laughing. Is that funny?
I'm having a problem with humor lately because I use humor to communicate all the time. And my voice is kind of going a bit. It's really hard.
You need some water? You have water?
Oh, it's okay. I will in a second. Let me finish this.
Of course.
The nuance in my voice is different now, so I'm just not as funny.
You're listening to Gord Myers, Hugh Johnston, and myself, Barry Shanebaum. I sort of set you up for a joke, but I'm quoting Leonard Cohen. Leonard Cohen says in one of his songs, "I ache in places I used to play." I ache in places I used to play. But, ooh, too much information. There you go, humor. a laugh is good.
He had
is it endorphins or something a laugh brings? Is it endorphins or when you laugh?
The laughing makes you feel better.
Yeah.
But, you know, anyway, so it's funny. You have some Parkinson's patients, they sit with their pill collection. Parkinson's tends to be the most pharmacological, intense, chronic conditions that there is. We take more pills than anybody else. And people make jokes about the pill sort. And when you sit down with the hundreds of pills and put them in little pockets for what you're going to take at night and what you're going to take during the day, and that can be a source of great humor amongst Parkinson's patients. And some things are laughing matters, and some things aren't, unfortunately.
Which brings us to Mikuna. I have an issue with the medical industry. I greatly respect our doctors and good people and all the people helping us, but, you know, when it has to be a medicine from a pharmacy, what if a plant has an ability? The Mikuna Purians Velvet Bean plant, I got this from Amazon or a natural food store, naturally has 5% levodopa. Naturally. When I'm in a bad way, when my body is freezing on me, if I take the pharmaceutical, 5-0, I take this, 1-5. 3 times faster to my brain than this. So of course I take this. I mentioned this to the good doctors at Western. I know names that I mentioned, but they're all good people. I respect them. But in my opinion, one should keep open the avenue of other ways of learning. And this saves me. In water or juice, within 15, 20 minutes, I'm starting to have reduction of pain. I'm waiting 3 times as long for the pharmaceutical. I talked to Shoppers Drug Mart and the eyes glass over, so I shut my mouth. That's my verb. I don't make any money from Mikuna.
So Mikuna, from what I understand, we've done some research on this, and I've actually tried it myself.
Yeah.
Have you tried it?
I haven't tried it. I was reading about it.
Okay. Mikuna actually is levodopa, and it's the same levodopa that's in your pill, your Cinemet pill.
Yes.
Except it's missing an ingredient, carbidopa.
Oh, the carbidopa.
And so if there's enough carbidopa in your system from your other medications, it might interact with the levodopa in the Mucuna, and you're dosing not through a pill, but through the natural form of the drug.
I don't know, but I'd love to discuss this with a doctor at Western, but there's no one to discuss it with.
But it's the carbidopa that gets the levodopa through the blood-brain barrier. But on its own. Doesn't get through the blood-brain.
No.
I don't know what's in my system, but when I do a scoop in water, it helps me.
Have you you would have taken your...
Well, I haven't taken it today, because one little pill here represents a lot of this stuff, you know, and there is a hallucinogenic effect to this, which can be scary also, just like the cinnamon. So
yeah.
That's the problem with taking medication. And this grows naturally in Asia and some parts of the world,
yep.
But it also, just like if you take poppies, it's opium, right? Some plants are dangerous, you know.
Yep.
Let's cover a few more things. Parks in Canada, how do you see them? They're not government, they're not private, they're a combination. They're a great organization, and I greatly respect them, you know, but how do you understand what is Parkinson's Canada? I'm still a bit confused.
Yeah. What are they called? They're not for profit. They're like a middleman. They facilitate meetings and webinars, and they fund seed research, like beginning.
Yeah.
Research when it's tiny.
Yeah.
When other people aren't.
Who funds Parkinson's Canada?
It's funded by donors.
Okay.
They may get some government money, do they? I don't know. Mostly donors.
Mostly donors. And not big donors. They don't have for example, the Michael J. Fox Foundation.
Yeah.
40% of its money comes from two people.
Really? Oh, Bill Gates?
Sergey Brin and his family.
Google guy.
Yeah, so is one of them. The Parkinson's Canada doesn't have that mega donor.
Right. And their board chair lives in my condo. Tony Chen, yeah. So what? He's a nice guy.
What do you think of that? It's not Parkinson's, it's Swagger.
Oh, their ad campaign.
Oh, Swagger. Tell us about the campaign, Swagger.
Well, I just saw it. I was at another event through Parkinson's Canada,
mm-hmm.
And we watched the video. It's cute.
Yeah.
It kind of made me laugh.
It makes you sort of walk as like a Swagger as opposed to, you know, Frozen Walk or something.
I think it was an improvement on anything that I've seen prior to that.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. How about you?
What it did for me was it made me feel that with Parkinson's, you're okay.
Yeah.
You're just moving different than other people. And yeah, okay, if you've got dyskinesia and you're kind of wiggly when you're walking, so what?
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah.
You know when the head goes back and forth? That's a reaction to the meds, right?
Can be.
My head used to go like that.
Yeah,
like used to.
That's it. Can be a dyskinetic movement.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a reaction to the meds, not the illness.
Well, it's actually the illness. What happens is over time, your brain's ability to hold on to the levodopa that you take as a medication and use it when it needs it degrades.
Mm.
And what happens is eventually when you take the medication, it can't store it. And so it's free floating. And that's when you get the dyskinesia. So you go from off, you go through a good on, and then you have an overload, too much dopamine floating around. And then as you come back off of that, it gets used up because levodopa doesn't last very long.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very quickly eliminated drug.
Yeah.
And so you get that on that's on the backside. And some people say that's better than the early one. And then you go off again.
Mm-hmm. How about family support? Are you both married, single, whatever? Do you have support from people close to you? Gord.
Married, no kids.
Married, no kids. Okay. Why not kids? No. Tell us about your wife is a lawyer.
Yeah, and she's great. And I couldn't imagine being alone and coping. I know people who are, and I have nothing but respect for them because it's challenging. I know for you, Barry, you got lots of friends in it, but I'm amazed how you're able to cope so amazingly.
Thank you.
And Hugh's got more.
Well, you got a daughter.
Two daughters. And my wife is a retired social worker. So she's pretty wonderful. And she comes from a family that has a lot of experience with people with disabilities. Most of her family actually worked at L'Arche up in Richmond Hill, which is the community for that. And so it's really good. Now, Barry, you were asking me about reducing meds.
Yes, you reduce it dramatically. How do you do it?
Well, it's the type of Parkinson's that I had doesn't respond that well to levodopa. So I started on 12 pills, and it got to 21.
Which pills? What were they?
Levodopa cardiopas.
100/20?
100/25.
The gold standard. The gold standard.
The bottles were coming
60 years.
I just get 500. Like, they didn't even open the package because it did no sense counting them out. And through therapy, through being willing to tolerate some symptoms versus looking for a pill or a treatment to get rid of all the symptoms, through the work with the Integrated Movement Disorders Program and understanding that when you're excited or you're anxious or anything else that makes your brain really overactive, your symptoms will be worse, you're able to take less of the medication. And the problem sometimes with the medication is it's a drug. And when you go off a drug, what happens when you take a drug and you get used to it, you're taking it all the time, and it wears off? What symptoms do you experience? You experience some sort of withdrawal. Mm-hmm. And so the more you take, the more your withdrawal is. And so by taking fewer meds, my withdrawal symptoms that happen every day, you know, 4 or 5 times a day, because you got to re-up the meds every X number of hours, those symptoms become less. So even though you're reducing your meds and you expect you'd have worse symptoms, you're able to, when you get through it, because it's not easy when you go down.
Not easy.
You come up with a new steady state that's no worse than the one you were at on the higher dose. Now, for some people, this wouldn't work. Mm-hmm. But for people like me and people whose brains are naturally too overactive and, you might say, too excitable, it's been pretty effective. My dosage now is under 10. So from 21.
General, we're coming towards the end of the podcast. I want to give both of you an opportunity to give some final thoughts on whatever your compliments, complaints, wisdoms, lack of wisdoms, whatever, things you've learned, things you haven't learned. What about living with Parkinson's? How many years have you lived with Parkinson's?
Diagnosed in 2010, so that's 14 years, and really 2 years before that was when I really noticed it, probably 10 years before I could trace back some symptoms.
Are there some things that stand out that you've learned you could share with us?
Well, the role of anxiety in that continuum. Sometimes anxiety.
What about anxiety?
Well, when you're anxious, you're more prone or more, you show more symptoms. Your Parkinson's symptoms become more visible and more obvious.
This is not a trick question. Have you been helped in any way by having Parkinson's?
Yeah.
Share with us how.
Well, I think of this PAV. There's no way I would have gotten involved in it. Patient Advisory Board. I wouldn't have looked twice at that before Parkinson's, and I quite enjoy it.
What do you enjoy about being in that council?
Seeing so many different people from all different stripes, all different places. And
their own stories.
They have their own stories, their strengths, their weaknesses, and they genuinely want to help and appreciate your help. So it's just positive.
And I might say, Barry.
I'm sorry?
Gord enjoys it because he's really good at it.
You are good.
He's a very good
heart, empathetic
leader. And I should know, I picked him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Handpicked. Right.
Yeah. You both got good hearts. Anything else you'd like to contact information? Email address? Anybody wants to contact you?
Yeah. Gord Myers is.
Spell it, please, slowly.
GordMyersIS @gmail.com.
Thank you. And you? I'm sorry.
GordMyersIS@gmail.com. So it's a sentence.
Thank you. And Hugh Johnston, tell us about your time with Parkinson's. How many years now have you lived with Parkinson's?
I've been diagnosed for 8 years.
8 years.
I have a hypothesis that the damage that began the process goes back to when I was a child. We actually have film of me walking like a Parkinson's patient when I'm 8.
Say that again. Film?
We have film of me walking with no arm swing and a dysfunctional gait on the right side when I was 8 years old, a Cub Scout.
Wow.
It's so bizarre.
Yeah. And so that might explain why my Parkinson's is very slow moving, is perhaps whatever happened, there's normal aging on top of it. But again, that's only a hypothesis. There's no proof of any of that. But we do know that I had a movement disorder when I was a kid. Do know that I had many of the symptoms that show up over the years and the decades.
Do you wonder why you got Parkinson's while you were chosen?
I wasn't chosen. It just happened.
Yeah.
And people say, how's your life with Parkinson's? And I got to be really frank. Parkinson's will kill you. They used to say,
that's right, yeah.
Parkinson's won't kill you.
You die with it.
You die with it. But what they forgot was that time went on and people's life expectancies got longer. The average age of onset of Parkinson's now in Canada is about 75 years old.
75?
So if you have Parkinson's for 10, 15 years, and on average you got it at 75, guess what? You're gonna die older than the oldest patient. And the movement disorder people that learned this, which the facts used to be, those people, their customers, their people they see in the clinics are in their 60s, 50s and 60s, and early 70s. So there's been a paper that's come out and proven, yes, indeed.
By who?
Came out of Bassboom Bloom's group out of Holland that redid the data and proved it's going to, Parkinson's shortens your life. And so as a result, you need to think about what it is that's going to do for you and give you meaning in your life. And with a disability, as many other people have very many different kinds of disabilities that aren't Parkinson's. And you have to just decide whether you're going to live or not.
Is there anything that you have learned from Parkinson's that you would say could be a positive influence on your life?
I would say all the people that I've met, I really enjoy. And frankly, the work and the volunteering gives you a sense of purpose and meaning.
Right.
And is much more meaningful than, you know, if going golfing or sailing or whatever the case might be, but in moderation. What happens with a number of people who volunteer is they drink heartily from the cup and overdo it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I would say that that's probably the best thing, is in our search for meaning, it provides a resting place for you to do things that are meaningful.
Would you like to provide contact information if someone wishes to email you?
Sure. Just like the people who answered the email that I got, that I sent. So mine is HUGHJOHNSTONCA, all one word.
Say that one more time, please, slower.
HUGHJOHNSTONCA, that's all one word, at simpatico.ca.
Thank you, Hugh Johnston. My name is Barry Shanebaum. I have the honor of having Parkinson's in my life. I say honor is sort of a black humor. I've learned a lot from having Parkinson's in my life. I had trauma happen to me when I was very young. I'm still dealing with it. And the wrestle with Parkinson's strengthens me for my other parts of my journey. So, Celery. I meet great people like Gordon Hugh, Dr. Karen Lee, CEO, wonderful people at the organization. And what I love about Parkinson's, they stress exercise. Exercise. And it's so important. Again, this is Perspectives with Barry Shanebaum. We basically do a podcast on issues with Parkinson's. Like, we'll have the owner of Beck Cabs on soon. We're going to do a podcast with her. And I'll tell you why at another time. Thank you for listening. Thank you to Jacob, my sound man here. Thank you to Gord and Hugh for joining us today. Thank you for listening.
Thank you.
See you soon.
Thank you, Barry.
This has been Perspectives with Barry Shanebaum. You can find all our new episodes on Spotify, Google Podcasts, and Apple Podcasts. You can find episodes of When This Was a Radio Show on SoundCloud.com. Barry Shanebaum can be found on Facebook at Barry Shanebaum and on Instagram at BarryZS2018. Thank you for listening.